Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stastny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trent Brower. The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Good one lined up today. We'll talk hockey with Chris Kerber, and we'll talk basketball with the best in the business, college basketball, Mike DeCourcy. Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. Winning streak text line, that same number, 855-282-8255. Opening monologue brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. Mizzou basketball winless in the SEC on a night where Illinois looks like a Final Four team. Yes, they actually did. They were unbelievable against Minnesota. Missouri continues to struggle in the SEC. Undefeated in December, winless in January. The final last night, Alabama 70, the Tigers 60. As I've mentioned from the outset, they just have a bunch of pretty good players. They don't have any very good players. They just don't. I mean, I really like Javon Pickett. I like Mark Smith. I know Torrance Watson's going to be okay. Jeremiah Tillman has good moments. But this is a really good league. And you knew it when Rick Barnes and Avery Johnson arrived, and Bruce Pearl was already there. Then there's that Italian in Lexington named Calipari, and Frank Martin and his great resume at South Carolina. Ole Miss has been good. This is a really good league. You can't win with pretty good players. And you know what, folks? Nobody's going to feel sorry for Missouri. Oh, yeah, Missouri's, you know, they're 0-3 in the conference. Let's help them out a little bit. No, they're at Texas A&M on Saturday. Then they're at Arkansas on Wednesday. I don't care who you're playing. Conference road games. This struggle is going to last for a while. We had a little optimism, you know, after Geist hit that shot against Central Florida. They win six in a row, look good in the bragging rights game. But it's back to reality. It's a really good conference. And, you know, you have to beat Alabama at home. Texas A&M is only 7-8 on the season, but they're at home. Here's Konzo Martin after the game.
Oh, you have to fight one game at a time. Like I told our guys before we even got to this point, our margin for error is so slim, so we have to be sound in a lot of areas. And I think we'll get there. Some lessons are painful. You got to learn them. And I think you have young guys who are going through it, learning some valuable lessons. We have to continue to get better, continue to try to strengthen our bench and get stronger there. Because, you know, you got guys, that's a lot of minutes for a guy, especially the way they defend him and try to take him out of the game. So we got to get other guys stepping up and giving us production.
Yeah, Illinois got a lot of production last night. How about that, Plowsy? 56% from the field, 50% from three, 95-68 over a Minnesota team, which came in 13-3, I believe.
All you need to see at this point, you know, you're not going to make the tournament, but you're just wanting to see improvement from young guys, maybe Underwood getting some connections with the players. And that game worked. It's still a bumpy season. It's a long season, but it showed that the future might be bright if these guys stick around. So
Io was, again, outstanding last night. All right, lap two. So this has nothing to do with our town, except it's baseball, so we all care about everything baseball-related. I was too young to really appreciate Harry Carey, and I loved Jack Buck. and have really enjoyed so many of the Cardinal radio broadcasters over the years, like Mike Shannon and John Rooney and Ricky Horton and our friend Mike Claiborne. We're blessed in St. Louis. I want to say this, though. You can't really judge a guy unless you listen to him consistently for years. And for about 6 years, I listened consistently to Marty Brenneman on WLW Radio, broadcasting the Cincinnati Reds. In addition to the voice, knowledge of the game, the ability to rate things or to relate things in a compelling way, he also had guts. Sometimes it got him into trouble. Sometimes he was a little too candid. And we know that, you know, play-by-play broadcasters and team employees have to tread lightly in discussing a team publicly, you know, i.e. rights holder. And I'm not saying Marty was a hatchet man, but he let it all hang out once in a while. He was critical of the Reds, and he cracked on other teams, too. He once said the Cubs will find a way to screw things up. They always do. Needed security in Wrigley Field. He called Chris Carpenter a whiner and excuse maker. Then La Russa went all after Marty Brenneman after that. And he went to Tony La Russa. So after 46 years, the 76-year-old Marty Brenneman says this will be his last year. And here's how he made this emotional announcement.
Come the end of the 2019 season, I'm retiring as a broadcaster with the Reds. It's something I thought about a long time. It's something I've anguished over more than anything I've anguished over in my life. I wake up at night at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I stare off into the darkness and think about what I'm doing. I've talked to a lot of people from all walks of life, and I've done an impromptu poll over the last 3 years because I knew this day was going to come eventually, and I always ask them, whatever walk of life they were from, doctors, lawyers, whatever the case might be, and they'd retired. And I said, is there anything that you miss more about retiring? And they almost without exception, they would say, I miss the people. And that this is tough for me. That's the thing I'm going to miss most. Nobody loves their job more than I do. I love to broadcast baseball. I work for wonderful people that have been awfully good to me.
Marty Brenneman saying goodbye one more year. He's been a guest on this program quite a few times. Could not be nicer. Love the guy. And this week, for the 17th year in a row, he was named the Ohio Sportscaster of the Year. He's in the Hall of Fame, and there will never be another one like Marty Brenneman. Lap 3. I love the Jalen Hurts story. Has any team in history ever had that kind of star power at the quarterback spot with three different guys in three different years? Now, I know you could probably go back to USC, and they had some great quarterbacks, but we're talking 3 years, three quarterbacks so famous. Baker Mayfield, Heisman, top pick in the draft. Kyler Murray, Heisman, he'll be a top 10 pick in the draft. And now Jalen Hurts, 26-2 as a starter in national championships at Alabama. Now, I don't think he's going to win the Heisman because he may not have that great arm talent like those two. And I don't think he's going to be a first-round pick. But how cool would it be if Jalen goes against Tua in the national championship game next year? Now, that would equal an NFL weekend, Plowsy. If it's Jalen Hurts and the Oklahoma Sooners against Tua Tagovailoa and the Alabama Crimson Tide in the national championship game, that would be something else. Jalen's dad is a high school coach in Texas. And because of that and those deep football roots, that may explain why Jalen handled this situation so gracefully at Alabama. He just kept working hard and then watched Tua do his thing. And then when Tua got hurt against Georgia, Jalen responded by engineering two drives, leading the Tide to a 35-28 victory. It was a huge victory for Alabama. They had to have it. I'll tell you, coaching is so brutal. Think about this. just think the whole situation at Alabama. That Nick Saban had to sit this guy down and put him on the sidelines after going 26-2. I mean, just think if like a spouse treated their loved ones like this. Nick Saban thought Tua was more conducive to success. So, Jalen, you go and sit. What if your wife said, you know that guy at Gold's Gym? He's in better shape. I'm going to move you out and move him in. And that's what it's like. I mean, gosh, that's brutal. And that's why when these kids transfer, I mean, if they're not playing, I don't blame them. You only got 3 or 4 years to have a college career. Now, the ones that are playing and that programs bend over backwards to be good to, and the ones that leave in that circumstance, well, I don't understand. But Jalen Hurts handled it about as well as anybody could handle it, and I hope he's great at Oklahoma. Left four. We are on number 50 on food picks. Yesterday we shot Southwest Diner. Their breakfast burrito was outstanding. Everything is homemade inside that breakfast burrito, including Italian sausage and this homemade salsa on top of it. Then we had these strawberry pancakes, too. They're made with cornmeal, and those strawberries and that sauce, wow. Anyway, one of our web guys at KSDK, Corey Miller, put together this montage of me just stuffing my face at all 50 of these food picks and moaning and saying, oh, so good. It's actually a little disgusting, so I decided not to retweet his tweet. Let's face it, when you tweet something out, you want to impart knowledge. You want to be witty. I just look like a pig eating like 50 different, you know, bites of food. People have retweeted, though. It's kind of embarrassing that I love food this much. I'll say this. I've actually said to my brother Mark, after a frustrating night of work, if I could be the maitre d' at the new Kimo's Chop House opening in less than a month at Westport. And he's politely said, I'll get back to you, and he hasn't gotten back to me. I think I'd be okay. And every night at 10:30, I get a nice cold draft beer, be at the bar with a strip steak, chatting with our new bartender, who I hope will look like Michelle Pfeiffer, but probably will look like Aunt B if my brother's hiring her. I like that idea. I think we all secretly think we can do something else than what we're doing right now. Like when George Costanza was talking with Jerry about his career options.
So what are you going to do?
I like sports. I could do something in sports.
Uh-huh. In what capacity?
You know, like the general manager of a baseball team.
Yeah, well, that can be tough to get.
Well, it doesn't even have to be the general manager. Maybe I could be like an announcer, like a color man. You know how I always make those interesting comments during the game?
Yeah, you make good comments.
So what about that?
Well, you know, they tend to give those jobs to ex-ball players and people that are, you know, in broadcasting.
Oh, boy. All right, lap five. Free agent market in baseball. Buster only reported it. Dan Lozano, the agent for Manny Machado, denied it. The White Sox offered a Manny 7 years, $175 million. I want to get the your take on the text line about this right now. 855-282-8255. As you know, I'm an advocate of the Cardinals always spending more. I love the DeWitt family, but the standard line is, why would I care if the DeWitt great-grandchildren had less millions in their trust funds? And I know the owners have all the money and these great television contracts. I do know that. But here's the question that I'm asking today. Do you like the fact that these two big free agents don't appear to be getting this ridiculous money of $350 to $400 million? Or would you like to see it? Let's just ask it this way. Do you like the fact that it appears that market's not there? Yes or no? And then you can explain. Or, I mean, I kind of would like to see them, like, stunned and end up with less than $200 million. I don't know why, but I kind of would. How do you feel? Give us a text on that right away, 855-282-8255. We're going to get Chris Kerber on here in just a minute, but let's go to lap six, stream of consciousness. Did you hear Boogie Cousins He said the Golden State Warriors are going to be the most hated team in professional sports. Well, and I think the Dallas Cowboys, it's slam dunk no matter what. You see, the Warriors, I mean, they do have one of the most lovable stars in professional sports in Steph Curry. But I guess when you think about it, they do have three guys that are kind of the Dark Knights. Would you agree with that? In Draymond Green, Durant, and Cousins? Nobody's ever liked Boogie Cousins.
I agree. Durant, people are either love him or hate him. That type. Boogie Cousins had some antics on and off the court. So, yeah, I could see that.
But I will say this. Cousins is going to play tomorrow night, it looks like. And it's insane that they're adding four-time All-Star with that kind of skill. That's spectacular. Then the other final thought, Cam Newton, I don't know if you heard the news, he may miss all of next season because of that shoulder. May have to have some major surgery. That is unbelievable that he would have to miss the entire season. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. You can give us a text on the Winning Streak text line, 855-282-8255. Let's talk a little hockey. Let's go to Beantown and let's check in with the voice of the St. Louis Blues, Chris Kerber. Chris, good to be with you. How are you?
Frank, I'm doing good this morning. See if the Blues can wrap up a terrific road trip on a good note tonight.
Any idea, or is it too early to tell, about who could be between the pipes?
I'm watching the morning skate as we speak. It looks like they're going to go with Jake Allen today. Maybe a tad surprising, but not overly. He played well in his last start. Binnington had some – it was a heavy game for Binnington, despite not even seeing 30 shots on goal in the last game. But Jake Allen's numbers, too, against the Boston Bruins have been really good. He's 4-2. He's got like a 158 goals against average and a 945 save percentage in his career against Boston. So, and has played well here in this building. So they'll go with that, and then I guess we continue to see how that drama unfolds based on tonight's game.
Well, for the first time, I think, all season long, Chris, we can actually say the Blues have two pretty decent options right now.
Yeah, that's really true. Jake has been playing well, especially on the road. The team has been excellent on the road lately. And then, of course, Binnington really stabilized it. So knowing that they've got that option, it's good. It gives them some opportunities to rest through a busy schedule, through travel, and then hopefully get some results. Now, the team in front of the goaltenders, well, they've been a lot better, too, and that has something to do with it. But both these guys right now, at least on the road, have been making the saves that they need to get made.
I'm not sure if Yaroslav Halak is going to get the start tonight, but in general, that tandem in Boston has done a pretty good job in goal prevention.
It has. I'd be surprised if Halak plays tonight just because he played last night in their loss in Philly. So I would think that Tuukka Rask will play. The Bruins don't practice here at the Garden. They've got a practice facility, so I haven't seen any reports yet on how it could go. David Backes was a healthy scratch last night in Philadelphia. So after losing 4-3, we'll see if they put him back in the lineup tonight to play against his former team.
His former teammate, David Perron, is the hottest player in the National Hockey League. What are you seeing from Perron right now?
You know what? He's just been consistent, and he's been good. He's finding a way to pick up both assists and goals. I mean, to have points in 12 straight, the longest going streak in the NHL right now and longest of his career, there's just been tenacity. And when we had a chance to talk to him a couple of games ago, he compared Ryan O'Reilly. I think I told you guys this maybe the other day. I don't remember. But he compared playing to Ryan O'Reilly to the success that David had in Anaheim playing with Ryan Getzlaf. And the consistency there is both Getzlaf and Ryan O'Reilly are just extremely hard on the puck. They don't give up on it. And we saw that in Washington on that assist that he had on the Tarasenko goal as an example. They just don't give up on the puck. And David also plays that way. And look, Frank, I've told you this before. I think you know when David Perron's game is on, when he's winning puck battles along the boards. And that's been an MO since his rookie year. If he's winning the puck battles along the boards, he's engaged. He's going to be impactful in a game. And during this stretch, he's been as impactful as we've seen him as a Blue.
All right, defensively, give us an idea of who on the back line. I know everybody's playing pretty well, but give me one defenseman that's really jumping out at you that you've seen just a genuine, like, upgrade in his game.
Well, I mean, that's got to be Jay Bouwmeester, hands down. His game was so off and so shaky at the beginning of the year. and maybe in the last month he stepped up as one of the top two defensemen again. So his play, and it's been his skating. You know, to come back from that hip surgery was difficult, and to do it in just about 6 months at the age of 35 proved even harder. But something clicked, something got more comfortable, and his skating was back to where, I mean, he's been looking really good. And when he skates, and that's been the nature of his game since he was a rookie, is the ability to skate. And that's what you've seen from Jay Bouwmeester. Now, in terms of tonight, I'm you know, watching what I'm seeing here in practice, I'm almost expecting the Blues to go back to seven defensemen. So Carl Gunnarsson could end up back in the lineup here tonight as well. When the Blues have done that a couple times, they've actually looked really good.
What are you seeing with Jaden Schwartz, who's really had a quiet season?
Yeah, you know, the goals haven't gone in. He dealt with that one injury. He's only got the three goals. He's still picking up some assists here or there. But listen, he's been playing hard. The work ethic has been there. I think you've got to go back. It's 14 games now and something like 55 shots on goal in those 14 games. It's 54-55. I don't remember his exact total from last game. I know he had at least four in the game the last time I had checked. You're seeing the work ethic. You're seeing the drive. You're just not seeing the results go in goal-wise for him. But all in all, I don't have too much of a problem with Jaden's play right now.
You're liking what you're seeing out of Vladimir Tarasenko in general the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's been able to put the puck in the net. I still think you need to see him, and maybe this just isn't going to be his game, but, you know, I still like to see him more engaged, on the back check and really using that speed to his advantage. And when he does, you just see how impactful and effective he can be. So there's still another level, but he's starting to pick up those points. He's got 5 points in his last four games, and they need him. If you aren't, they need him sniping. They need him putting the puck in. I think he still gets too many passes that get knocked down, so I'd like to see him bear down in that department. But it's good to see the goals start to go in for him. And, you know, he'll remain as one of the point guys and the left-wing guy on that top power play unit.
Good stuff. All right, tonight we'll be listening. It's a 6 o'clock start on KMOX, also on Fox Sports Midwest, Blues and Bruins. Oh, give us your quick playoff playoff update for the Blues. Where do we stand?
Yeah, hey, they're still getting some help, Frank. Last night, the Colorado Avalanche lost again. They've only won two times in their last 12 games. And so that leaves the Blues coming into the game four of this road trip just 5 points out of third in the Central Division, 5 points out of the top wild card spot, 4 points out of the second wild card spot. And they've got games in hands on those two wild card teams, the third place team in the division, with the Dallas Stars and the Colorado Avalanche. And then, of course, the teams in between Anaheim and Edmonton and Vancouver, the Blues have games in hand on them all well. So they've been doing a good job. They've been climbing out of the hole. By no means are they out of the hole yet. They've still got some work to do. And you've got Anaheim playing Minnesota tonight. Anaheim making three trades in the last 2 days. Anaheim playing Minnesota tonight. So I think you're going to need to pick up some points to keep pace with the way the schedule looks tonight.
Good stuff. Chris, we'll talk next week. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay, Frank. Have a great weekend.
All right. Chris Kerber, Voice of the Blues, brought to you by Petromart. Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next. With 50 locations to serve you in a hurry, Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot and ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud sponsor of Phillips 66 Gasoline and a proud sponsor of the Blues. We'll take a short time out. He is Mike DeCourcy. Nobody knows college basketball like him. We'll be right back.